You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I love church. You know, I don't know how it is with you. I've loved church my whole life. I don't know if there's something wrong with me. I can remember almost every sermon, especially Sunday night, I could always look back, sit next to my dad in church. And what happy memories to be on his normally left-hand side, and then my mother, and then my two sisters. And three of those are with the Lord now, my sister, my parents. I loved going to church with my parents. I just loved it. I loved it. I loved Sunday afternoon lunch. We came home on Sunday afternoon in the 50s, and the old-fashioned revival hour was on with Charles Fuller out of Long Beach, California. The boys were being shipped off from there earlier in the 40s, but they kept that program at the Municipal Auditorium. It was right where the Queen Mary, that area is now, I believe it's still there, and the blue, the spruce, whatever they call that thing. Haven't been there in decades. But that'd come on, and Charles Fuller, Rudy Atwood, would be at the piano. Heavenly Sunshine and Jesus Saves. We had Rudy Atwood with us many times to play the piano before he went to be with the Lord. And Charles Fuller, he'd call his wife, Honey. Honey, it wasn't her name. Honey, come and read a letter from one of the service boys. And always would read a letter. They had 3,000 people would go to that auditorium every Sunday afternoon for the afternoon service. We'd hear it on the AM radio at home. And then got older and started sitting in the youth area with our teenagers. And I loved those days, loved them. And then got dating a girl by the name of Cindy Swanson that sat in the front row on this side with her. Her dad was our pastor. And I got to sit with her. I loved those days sitting with my wife. She wasn't my wife yet, my girlfriend. And then she became my wife. We sat together. We came here, we had children. I've never sat with my wife. I've never sat with my kids. That's the only thing about the ministry. I wish I could have sat with my kids. But I hope you love church. Amen. And parents, you know, sometimes it's not always easy on Sunday night to get out to church, or maybe sometimes the kids don't want to go. Maybe sometimes you don't want to go, but get to church. Just get to church all the time. And it might come, as you're turning to my favorite New Testament book, Philippians, it might come that if our Lord tarries, it might be that we may not have these freedoms much longer. I don't know. God knows all of that. I don't know if you've been aware of it, but I'm trying to every Sunday morning, Sunday night, for the last many years, to put deposits in your life. I want all of you to have the best life. And when things get hard, and maybe if you outlive me and I go to heaven, whatever, and the Lord tarries, I'd like you to always have a positive mind, a good mind, a happy mind. A mind that God can do anything. Amen. And I can do anything through Christ that strengthens me. The book of Philippians, my favorite book in the New Testament. Old Testament is Nehemiah. I guess it's because you study the life of Paul, he was in prison. He writes 104 verses. And 18 times he says to have joy or to rejoice. Now that prison was just basically prisons in that time where, and that's why he said, send my cloak, I'm cold. It was just a hole on a mountain, and they'd carve out a hole, and then they would lower people, and the water would run generally because they put them down so deep. It was always damp, it was always cold. And Paul writes this book in that condition. And he says in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I've often wondered how this man in this condition could rejoice so much. 104 verses, but 104 times he says, Jesus, Christ, Lord, God, our Father. You see, his life was for to me to live, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is, and to die is gain. I don't do it every morning, I try to, but my first song I sing to the Lord is Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I'll shout and sing. I want it to be every day of my life, it's Christ. Amen. The problem is with Jack, sometimes he dethrones Jesus and Jack raises his ugly head. And I get my way and I want my way. But you know, most of the time I try fervently to live for him. We'd sing in high school, I'll live for Jesus. I learned it at my first camp, 1960. Whispering Pines, I still have the camp book. I'll live for Jesus day after day. I'll live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey and live for Jesus day after day. If the Lord tarries, I think you might be in for some hard times. So I want to speak about your mind tonight. I work diligently. I'm not successful all the time, but I work diligently to have a controlled mind. A lot of the things that I deal with, like you do as well, are negative. You don't go to the doctor when you're well. You go to the doctor when you're sick. You don't come see the pastor when everything's okay. You come and you see me or talk to me when things are tough. And I have to control my mind. That's why I don't watch the news. Now, you know I do get the news on my phone. And I read the headlines or I read some things in there, but not much. But I'm not going to lose my joy over Democrats or Republicans. I remember I was preaching in Arizona, and George H. Bush said, character matters. And he said, you're going to vote for character. And I've proven to this country I have character with my family. And he didn't, I said, I wasn't a draft dodger. He's talking about Bill Clinton. He said, I'm going to tell you, character matters. And he lost. And I got up out of that hotel room that next morning. I'd been preaching in Arizona, and it said Clinton won. I'll never forget it. It was so depressing, so discouraging. It was a Wednesday night. I came home, and your boy, Carl, who's with the Lord, the quartet sang several songs, same song. We have the nursery if you need help up there, okay? But we sang several a song about how that God is in control. And I said, fellas, sing that again. Sing it again. And we sang it so many times. I can remember when different men were elected office to the presidency. I thought, how in the world could we elect this person? I don't know who could I elect. I don't think either one of us has said this morning our Sunday school teachers. Someone told me today that Mr. Trump swears all the time. Well, if that's the case, I wish he'd clean his mouth up, and only God can do that. And this lady that he's running against, I've never heard of anything, seen anything. I've never heard her voice. I don't know what she sounds like. I've seen pictures. She's all laughing. Something's missing. You don't laugh all the time. Something's missing. When people are always smiling and laughing, there's something missing in their life. And there's a lot that I've studied about the life of what you have. It's very discouraging. I want you to read with me tonight with the scripture, Philippians chapter 2, and we'll use these four chapters. I'll be rather quick tonight, I hope. Verses 1 through 11, Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Ready, begin. If there be therefore any
consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy,
Our Father, thank you for the joy to listen to these people read the Word of God, your book. I thank you that it made you preeminent. On a Sunday night, they're here in the house of God. Thank you for their effort. Thank you for the fact that we have church on Sunday. And morning and night, this entire day is dedicated to you. Bless our moments together and help us to understand that we must guard our mind. We cannot let our mind get hijacked. We cannot let it be seized by evil thoughts and wicked thoughts and negative thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Help us to guard our mind tonight is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I've pretty much in this neighborhood where my wife and I live, I try to say hello to everybody. The fire truck was down at the neighbor's house the other day, and I stopped in. I was riding my bicycle this week one night, and I stopped in. I said, okay. And he said, well, Pastor, thanks for stopping. And here's what took place. They don't come to church, never have, but they're very kind to me. I wave to everybody. I try to smile at people. I try to check up on people. I try to be good to our neighbors. And I ran into one of our neighbors. He's a businessman. I ran into him this past week at Home Depot, and I was in the parking lot, and I said a word to him, and he started talking to me, and he said, Pastor, what in the world are we going to do? He's a right-wing conservative, but he doesn't come to his church, doesn't go to any church. He's promised me one day he'll come. He's my friend. And he said, what are we going to do? I said, about what? He goes, this election. Scares me to death. What are we going to do? He said, they'll probably steal it. He said, what am I going to do? Well, you know what? It's very little hope I can give an unsaved man. But I can tell the people of God that the church, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. You're going to be okay. But you're going to have to work at your mind. And you're going to have to keep your mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. 14 times in these four chapters, he talks about your mind, our minds, our minded, our like-minded. You might want to find him this week. Look how Paul was thinking, chapter 1, verse 6. Look what the Bible says, 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's a positive mind. Look at verse number 11, verse number 12. The Bible says, but I want you to understand, brethren, that the things that happened to me have fallen rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all places. Many brethren waxing strong. They're getting stronger. It's okay, I'm in jail. I'm on the winning side. I'm confident that God's in control, he's saying. I like what he says in verse number 17. But the other to love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. That's a good mind. What then, notwithstanding whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I do rejoice, and I will rejoice. That's a positive mind. How about what he says in verse number 20? According to my earnest expectation and my hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now as Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Read verse number 21. Ready, begin, please. For to me to live. He says how rejoicing he was in verse 26. How about what he says over here in chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And rejoice in the Lord. Verse number 7, what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, I count all things, doubtless I count all things are lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Verse 10, that I may know him. Amen. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Verse 13, chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not arrived yet. But this one thing I do. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things are before, I press toward the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling. Still had desire. I'm going to keep on going. How's going to press for the mark in a jail? He said, I'll do it. Whether it's in the palace, whether it's in prison, whether it's in the pit. Chapter 4, verse 4. Let's read it together. 4:4. Ready, begin. Rejoice. Let's read verse 11, chapter 4, 11, please. Ready, begin. Not that I speak. How about verse 13? Ready, begin. How about verse 19? Ready, begin. You're going to win, folks. Well, I'm on the losing side. Oh, no. We win. We win. Hallelujah. We win. I read the back of the book. And we win. We're more than conquerors through him. A few weeks ago, I preached about battle after battle. The next week, I preached from victory unto victory. His army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Do you know our God is coming back for us? Jesus will be sent. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. And wherefore shall we ever be with the Lord? And then after the tribulation, we're coming back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And we'll go to heaven. And we'll be able to worship him all throughout eternity. Oh, what a day that will be. I've got to think right. My favorite proverb is Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, it can't be done. Well, it's just not possible. Well, things are so hard. Well, I'm not going to ever have anything in life. Don't think that way. Who knows what God has prepared for us, 1 John, but who knows what God may do down here? He said, well, teenagers, it's so dark. Yeah, but God may raise you up to be the next Charles Finney or the D.L. Moody or the Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Or he may raise you up to be the next Billy Sunday and preach the word of God. You may be instrumental. Why do you think God would put you in a church like this? Why would you think God put you in the situation that you've been in with your life? Whether with a father in the home or without a father, whether with a mother or without a why do you think God has allowed that in your life? God's gonna use you. Who knows what God's gonna do? Who knows if the Lord tarries, which one is this room is going to one day stand behind this sacred desk. And I said, I remember the old man used to preach up here and he marked that pulpit all up and he's in with Jesus now. But hey, crowd, look at us tonight. It might be packed. You can't even get everybody in here. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know he's still on the throne. I love that, Brother Stan, you sang tonight. Don't give the devil any ground. We're on the winning side. I'm going to guard my mind. I present my mind. I think you probably do as well every day. I said, Lord, I was point. I give this mind. You've heard this so much. I said, Lord, there's not a lot in there, is there? But what's left in there, I give it to you. I want you to have my mind today. And God, I give you these eyes. And I give you these ears. And I give you this mouth. And God, I give you these hands. Lord, I give you these feet. And then I always say, Lord, I give you my heart. That song, I can't hardly sing that, Brother Jackson. Take the dearest thing. Oh, my goodness. And God wants my life. And I think about how he sang that. I was just meditating on that song. I want Jesus in my life more than anything. I wish I could say my entire life in ministry, I wanted him as much as I do today. But I believe I want him more today than I ever have in my life. Amen. I want God to control every part of my life. Oh, yes, I'll stumble, and I'll begin to worry. I'll begin to get fret. I'll try immediately say, Lord, I'm not going to go down that. I'm not going down that dead end street. I want to live on this boulevard, having the time of my life. I'm not going to live by the grace of God in depression. I'm not going to live where that I feel like life's been bad to me. Life has been good to me, and God has been good to me. Now I have 2 pages of notes, and I'm done with the first page, and the second page is faster. I want you to see about our mind in the book of Philippians tonight. I want you to have a good mind tonight. You teenagers, I want you to live with such hope. You see, you've not, maybe you've thought about it, but I've thought about it I look at you pretty little girls down here. I've seen in my mind this pulpit gone. We move it out for weddings. And I see Ralph standing right here with the men. Ralph, to you, look ugly right now, and he's a weirdo, and I would never want to date him, let alone marry him, but you're going to fall in love with these Ralphs around here. And then those doors, the bridal march starts, the ushers open up both doors, and the first one that stands, Mama, and Mama stands up, and they turn back there, and that's the last time Ralph was looked at in the wedding. Because it's all about the bride. Boys, you're going to be good husbands. I know you will. All you teenage boys and college age young people, you'll be good husbands. And you'll be good wives. You'll be wonderful wives. And you're going to be good parents because you've seen it done. You saw it. You're going to be good Christians. There's so much hope ahead of you. There's so many exciting things ahead of you, young people. And you're going to have to keep your mind, as Paul did in this jail cell, that I can do all things through Christ. Amen. It's okay. You say, but they're putting more government control on the church. And you boys have been pastoring now for 5 years and 6 years, 7, and you and your wife have been working hard wherever God has you. And they're putting more controls, whatever state you're in, and I'm going to tell whatever mission field you're on. But I guess what? God's going to give you courage to keep going on. Can't ever quit. Can't ever get in your mind that it's hopeless, it's helpless. You know, the greatest revivals were birthed out of persecution. The greatest coming back to God, it has always been when things get hard, the fans grow. Hitler gathered all those. You've seen the pictures. He gathered a mound of Bibles, house to house, with his Gestapo and his agents, and they went and got every Bible in Germany. And there's a huge mound that just trickled down. They set them on fire. But God wasn't done with Germany. And child of God, some great, great preachers and theologians and great Christian music and hymns came out of Germany because God's still on the throne. Yes. See, man, I'm just so afraid of bringing children into this world. That's our hope. Your little son, your little daughter, and they'll see Mom and Daddy going through hard times. The hard times I watched my sweet mother and dad when we lost everything. We lost everything. The business failed. I watched my dad and mother pray. They never walked around crying. They never talked about the problem. I'm certain in their little room at night they must have. But they just presented a positive. My dad pulled out the little blue Bank of America checkbook, became a Bank of America customer tonight in 1953, and he stayed with it till he died. And it ranked Calvary Baptist Church's tithe. Well, we had to move out of the house and rented 2 bedrooms. Not a 2-room house, 2 bedrooms. We didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have a living room. We didn't have a laundry room. Mother would take us to the corner just across the street, and we'd eat in the park cold cereal. And she'd sort of do her best to make some kind of lunch. I went to school. My sisters went to school with that bag lunch. And then at night, we went over to Oak Park, and my dad would always grill in the park. Those are some of the happiest days of my life. Because I didn't even know how poor we were But I watched a mom, Brother Hardy, you know my parents, and many. I watched my dad. He just would smile. When we had a house, he'd come in my room in the morning and sing with that, so loud. Now we're in those two little rooms, and there's other people that rented rooms, and he'd sing when the day is bright. But Brother Everson, he kept singing. I want your mind to be protected. You're going to have to do it. Watch it here. It won't be long. Look what it says in chapter 1 and verse number 27. You have to have a serving mind. Only let your conversation, your behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast. One spirit, one mind, striving together. One mind, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on a bus route. This one thing, get in the choir. I've been traveling all across the nation last year or two preaching, and I will again many times before the summer's over. Where I'm going, I'm asking, get in the choir. Get in the choir. I'm going to a meeting, I'm thinking about organizing a choir there during the preaching. Just got to have a choir. Serving the Lord. Get your mind set. I'm going to serve God. Get your mind serving the Lord. That's what he's talking about. The second mind, he says, and I'm going quickly because the average church member sits, serving mind and a single mind. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfilling my joy that you be like-minded. The same love, be one accord, one mind. Says it twice. Hey, kids at camp this week, get one mind. I've watched our kids. They've been in prayer. They pray about camp. They're excited about camp. They're going to get in this thing. God, you watch. God is going to do something this week. I know he's going to. That youth group of ours is so one-minded. The one that might seem like a misfit or oddball or whatever it might be, they don't do that around there. They're all one. Churches are made up of all different types of people. And if we're not careful, we try to squeeze everybody the same. But God made you uniquely you. And our youth group has learned that one another, it's not do it my way, and I'm the boss. But they become one. A serving mind, a single mind, a selfless mind. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Whatever position you have in the work of the Lord, be selfless. In your marriages tonight, be selfless. Live for your wife, fellas. Just live for her. And ladies, live for that husband. And parents, live for those kids. Die to self. Well, I'm not happy. So what? I'm seeing here, Paul says, I want you to have a serving mind and a single mind and a selfless mind. And then he said, I want you to have a spiritual mind. Let this mind, chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is all also in Christ Jesus. When we say it's a spiritual mind, what kind of mind? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I want to tell you something, friend. That is what we call a spiritual mind. We get the mind of Christ. He wanted to humble himself. He wanted to serve others. He wanted to die for the sin of mankind. He didn't deserve that, but he did it for you and he did it for me. Why? That's the kind of life God wants you to me and for me. If we keep having a spiritual mind, you'll be okay. Amen. A selfless mind, a single mind, and a servant mind. but a servant's mind too. We said he with this mind, he made himself as a servant. Serve everybody. Could you go to work tomorrow and not have to traipse into HR department and complain? Whatever they give you, just enjoy it. Enjoy your job. Enjoy the people around you. It's easy for me to say, I work around the most incredible people. I'm having the time of my life just serving God with these dear, sweet people that you've allowed me to serve with. May I suggest number six, and I'm done. Have the Savior's mind. Chapter 4, I love this verse. Finally, brethren, here's where your mind needs to be in mind this week. Whatsoever things are, 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, you fill in the blank. God wants you to be thinking on true things. Whatsoever things are, 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 if there be any, think on these things. I think I sing it every day, but I sing all the time. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Think about good things. Well, back in my day, it was so great in America. No, think about today. For my home and family, the good things you've given to me. For the church I attend, what a joy to be alive. When your mind gets carnal, or when your mind gets weary, or when your mind gets negative, you're going to destroy yourself. I believe God could do anything that he wants to through any one of your lives. God's going to use you, ladies and gentlemen, but you're going to have to protect your mind. Don't hang around people that are negative. Well, church. Well, Christian. Well, fundamental. Don't hang around that crowd. Iron sharpeneth iron.
Amen.
It's amazing with iron. And I'll close my Bible to give you hope. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. I used to preach across the country to young people a message on iron sharpeneth iron. Get two knives. I said, can you have two knives there? Sharp knives. Buy them at the dollar store for a dollar. And I said, try to make them a 12-inch blade or bigger. I said, do you think you could get me some paper and put it in the pulpit? You think you could get me a plastic milk carton? You think you could do that? And I'd show these kids that you take this knife that's so sharp and you use it against the plastic. You know what it does? It dulls it. And you know you cut paper with a knife, what it does? It dulls it. But when you collide iron with iron, it always sharpens it. Every one of us tonight need to collide with hymns and songs and believing that God is able. I find myself once in a while getting trapped. I'll think about the impossible situation. And I'll get worried for a few minutes. But I try almost immediately say, Lord, I'm not going down that road. I don't want to live there. But it looks so impossible, and the all constant pressure. And you have, I don't have more than you, just constant. But I'm going to think about Jesus. I'm going to think about him all day long. I'm going to read about him a lot. I'm going to study about him. I get on planes, the first thing I do is I bring before we take off, I bring the table down and I open up this Bible. And they'll say, you reading that? I said, I am. What are you? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Amen. And I always give a gospel tract before we ever take off. You know, I've led a lot of people to Christ that way. I've had a lot of stewards and stewardesses come back and say, I got to come back and talk to you once the plane gets up. And they'll come and they'll talk to me. It's an amazing thing how hungry people are for God. Amen. When they talk to me, I never try to talk quiet. I don't try to be loud. But I make it so that maybe in the front row they can hear me just right ahead of me. I'll say things like, you know, the only hope you have in life is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And I don't know what you're going through, but I tell you what, God says he can bring peace to your heart. I led a lady to Christ one time. We were flying into San Jose and we had so much turbulence. No, it wasn't San Jose. We'd left here. I was going somewhere. And we flew for many hours. And she was a nervous wreck. And then we'd hit those pockets. Oh, I hate this. I hate it. I said, so do I. I've never liked flying. I hate it. And she said, well, you seem relaxed. I said, well, I'm not. Inside, I'm in turmoil. But I said, I'll never forget, we're in the very last row. And it really got turbulent. And I said, let me talk to you about the Lord. I began to talk to that lady and she calmed. I gave her scripture. I gave her the plan of salvation. And we were landing as she was praying. I led her in prayer and we were landing. She said, dear God, save me. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I didn't realize and she didn't realize we were landing. And all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, she goes, what's that? I said, we just landed. As she finished her prayer. I want to keep my mind right. You pray for me. I want to believe that God can do anything. My wife begs me every day, let's pray for America. Let's pray. Let's fast another meal for America this week. Amen. And another one. She says, let's do it all. She's always saying, why can't we do that? Our Father, these are such good people. I thank you for the fact that you give us a mind. We have thoughts. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind. May our thoughts be on Jesus this week. Upon his great, great work. Upon his Bible that he gave and deposited to our care. And the faith. Oh God, you're so good to us.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.